Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale & Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Let's get down to business. Round number one at 6:06, the Great Dawn Stencil.
Yeah, we want to get right to it because we are also sponsored on this hot June the 5th day. It will feel hotter than 90 today, so get ready and make sure you liquidate as far as, not liquidate, but you know what I'm saying, that you drink lots of liquids today because it's going to be a hot one. We are sponsored this morning by Independence Seaport Museum. So I know that Wayne Bonfiglio, we have the breaking news with him. We have a lot of breaking news from across the region. We'll get to all of it in a moment. But first, the President of the United States of America has breaking news, a big announcement that pretty much everybody is affected by, everybody's reacting to with regard to what many are calling in the so-called mainstream media this morning as a big Muslim country ban. That's what the mainstream media is saying, that Trump has doubled down on a, and I'm air quoting here, a major Muslim ban. So I know that we have the president making the big announcement.
The recent terror attack in Boulder, Colorado, has underscored the extreme dangers posed to our country by the entry of foreign nationals who are not properly vetted, as well as those who come here as temporary visitors and overstay their visas. We don't want them. In the 21st century, we've seen one terror attack after another carried out by foreign visa overstayers from dangerous places all over the world. And thanks to Biden's open door policies, today there are millions and millions of these illegals who should not be in our country. In my first term, my powerful travel restrictions were one of our most successful policies, and they were a key part of preventing major foreign terror attacks on American soil. We will not let what happened in Europe happen to America. That's why on my first day back in office, I directed the Secretary of State to perform a security review of high-risk regions and make recommendations for where restrictions should be imposed. Among the national security threats their analysis considered are the large-scale presence of terrorists, failure to cooperate on visa security, inability to verify travelers' identities, inadequate record-keeping of criminal histories, and persistently high rates of illegal visa overstays, and other things. Very simply, we cannot have open migration from any country where we cannot safely and reliably vet and screen those who seek to enter the United States. That is why today I am signing a new executive order placing travel restrictions on countries including Yemen, Somalia, Haiti, Libya, and numerous others. The strength of the restrictions we're applying depends on the severity of the threat posed. The list is subject to revision based on whether material improvements are made, and likewise, new countries can be added as threats emerge around the world. But we will not allow people to enter our country who wish to do us harm, and nothing will stop us from keeping America safe. Thank you very much.
Good. I love that. God, I love that. I voted for that. And of course, the media is going to have a meltdown. Yeah. Oh, it's anti-Muslim. It's anti-terrorist. Get all the bad people that are already here the hell out and keep them out. And don't let anybody else come in. Close for business, Dawn. No vacancies.
Yeah.
No bad people.
And so you heard him say the citizens of 12 countries in particular, they are banned from coming to this country, but there are the seven other countries that face restrictions. So these are actually, if you think about, you know, his first term policy, this is now expanding beyond. So the new ban would include Afghanistan, Myanmar, Chad, Republic of Congo, Equatorial Guinea, Eritrea, Haiti, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Yemen. So it goes beyond, you know.
Isn't Cuba on the list?
Yes,
Cuba, Venezuela.
How do Cubans feel in South Florida?
Oh. Well, these are the heightened restrictions.
Marco Rubio. I'm looking at you there, Holmes.
Yeah. Well, Cuba is on the list of the heightened restrictions on visitors. So, okay. In other words, the initial list that he mentioned, the first 12, they are banned.
Full travel ban. Yes.
Full.
The other ones are
Sierra
partially
Leone,
restricted.
Togo, like all of those, Venezuela.
Yep.
All of those other ones that he said he may include, those ones are just their heightened restriction. It's not a total ban. And I think that he constructed this executive order such that, you know, like he said, they could be flexible if they get further, you know, threats.
Yep.
So
I
there
love
it is.
This. I voted for this. Stay the hell out. You think this guy who made his whole platform almost around the border is going to allow and permit a 9/11 type attack under his watch? Not a shot in hell.
You don't think the people that are already here are,
I know, that's the fear.
And they're rooting him out.
I mean, come on. Come on, guys.
Not going to happen under this guy's watch.
It's like, you know, when a pandemic is around, they're like, well, we need to shut down travel. You don't think it's already here?
Well, I mean,
come
be.
On, guys.
It could be. We have a clip coming up in the cut sheet from TMZ that, according to their sources, there was a fifth plane on 9/11. So you never know.
Well, I do. Okay, so to your point, what I would say, part of this is a situation of being overwhelmed. And so by shutting everything down, you mentioned 9/11. What did they do? The air traffic, remember the story of the air traffic controller, first day on the job, said all flights, everything's grounded. We're going to shut everything down so we can take control.
Yep.
That's essentially what I see him doing here.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just played the clip. What was it, yesterday, day before, Tom Homan? You had Dan Bongino last night. I mean, it's pretty scary what they're talking about as far as the risk.
I think when you look at this right now, you can take all these media honks out there that make seven figures. Same rules apply from South America countries. Hate has no home here. So if you think this is a ban on Muslims, here's what I want you to do. We'll find some terrorists that are already in the country. We'll ship them to your gated community. You house them. Mm-hmm. You guys would all soil yourself.
Can we bring in Wayne real fast?
Yeah. Breaking news now. So the first story was, like, just to be clear, we have the President of the United States of America. We have Wayne Bonfiglio.
Yes.
All right? In this order.
And, of course, Jimmy Kelly's disappeared. Yeah, Jimmy Kelly's inability to help our guests around for a guy who's been here for a quarter a century is staggering to me. Staggering to me.
He'll help him.
Where'd he go?
Just relax.
He's gone. There he is. No, we have no headphones in here for Wayne. And nobody. Wayne's got a broken hand right now. Thank you, Wayne. He's carrying around a mountain bike.
Look at that.
With an ace bandage on one hand, a smartphone in the other.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHC. Nick's.
Thank you, Wayne. I guess Jimmy Kelly's manning the phones for 2 hours now.
There he is.
There he is. Wayne, sit down. Jimmy, come on. Let's go. What do we got? Let's go. Hi. Here we go.
Okay, we got.
Look at this. Wait. There we go, Wayne. Sit down. Let's have a little conversation. There he is. Well, first of all, what happened to the hand?
Trigger finger.
So you shoot lefty.
I shoot both hands.
You shoot both hands. So you're a bi shooter. It's interesting.
Okay.
Very
interesting.
We'll leave it at that. The bike looks great. I think I'm going to pull off a three-peat this summer.
I think you will.
Pull the microphone up a little bit closer.
I think you definitely will.
There you go. Now, I was told that there was, I believe you had said that there was some alterations made to the bike from last year?
No, except it was never, only a little dust on it because it hasn't been ridden since you had your...
Well, prime example as to why I would never buy a bike, because I'm going to ride it one day a year and it's going to collect dust.
Wayne, it's really disgraceful that this is his third year doing this and he hasn't purchased a bike yet. Like,
I'll give you $35 for it.
It's all good. Listen, it's all good, Greg. Just don't be a hater just because we won't give you one yet.
Yeah, you talk about this guy's giving me guff over not buying the bike, not training, not riding. He has not ridden the bike ride since Obama was president.
It's true. That's absolutely true.
I get no respect around here. None, Wayne.
He's not wrong, Wayne.
Well, you rode with the other guy.
I did.
You rode with the other guy.
Yeah.
So what are we thinking? Uncrustables this year, Gatorades.
Oh, the whole
bananas.
It's all going to be there.
Water.
Families
Water.
Behind the Badge Children's Foundation. We're doing the 65-mile bike ride from the Ben Franklin Bridge to the Jersey Shore.
Yes.
Atlantic City on Saturday, July 21st?
20th.
20th. Okay.
July 20th, 2025. So families behind the badge, and you can register or you can donate.
Yes.
JJ says, Greg, we remember Ankle Gate from last year. Release the medical records.
Yes, yes. Wait. Who's Don? Who was the medical doctor that was under both Trump and Obama? What's his name?
Oh, Ronnie Jackson.
Yeah. Ronnie Jackson needs to release the medical records of Greg Stocker. Okay. Somebody needs to file a Freedom of Information request.
We'll do that.
Dr. Jackson.
Families behind the Badge Children's Foundation. Just go to GregStockerSucks.com. Donate right now.
Yes. So 65 miles, 30 miles, 10 miles. What are you feeling this year? You think there's anything a little plot twist? We have any difference in maybe the rest stops? Which, by the way, I'm actually feeling so motivated because Stocker keeps busting my chops. I might not stop at every rest stop. So Wayne, only see me once or twice.
I did see you at
everyone.
Everyone. And you were hurt. You were hurt.
Hurting.
You were good up until
the last one.
Well, Egg Harbor City.
Was that the third one?
That's the baseball field.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The third one.
I was starting to cramp.
Yeah.
I needed two Uncrustables.
Yeah. You were
phenomenal.
You were hurting a little bit.
Yeah, I know. We are. Well, we've got people added to the team this year. So in all seriousness, thank you so much because you guys do it. And if you've ever thought about riding, certainly the donations are great, but riding, they treat you like a king at every stop, every 15, 14, 17 miles, whatever it is. I mean, you cannot. There's no way you won't be able to finish. They will hydrate you. They will feed you. They'll throw you in an ice bucket. Whatever you got to do to stimulate yourself and get you to the finish line, they do.
Yeah.
And then you go down. You drive all the way down from stop to stop.
Yeah. I've been doing this for, I think, 13 or 14 years now.
And you look good. You look like you've lost weight.
I have.
So I took Wayne's weight is basically what I did.
He lost it. You found it.
You found it.
Yeah. It's great to see you, man.
Same here, buddy.
Thanks,
Listen,
Wayne.
All the luck. So ride safe, be healthy.
I hope that hand gets better.
Oh, it's got to come off. This is not.
It's almost done?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation, please donate now. Please be generous. We're all doing the ride well.
And GregStockerSucks.com.
Thank you. Thank you.
Or just GregStockerSucks in general.
Yeah.
Thank you, Wayne.
You're welcome, buddy.
Exactly.
I love
you're
you,
welcome.
Brother.
Thank you very
all
much.
Right.
All right. There he is, Wayne Bonfiglio. The bike has arrived. I'm going to get the first ride in at some point this week. All right, Jimmy Kelly, let's try to get everything out of here. Dawn, if you want to continue news.
Let's just do weather because we have to wrap this up. Sorry.
We do.
Okay,
sorry,
there's a lot of other. We'll get to the news
seven,
at some point
at 7 o'clock.
But yeah. We are sponsored by Independent Seaport Museum. Discover Philadelphia's River of History and World of Connections in the Independent Seaport Museum, Penn's Landing. Explore our region's waterways through hands-on interactive exhibits and more. Plan your visit, phillyseaport.org. Thank you, phillyseaport.org, Independent Seaport Museum, for sponsoring our news on this hot day. So be safe out there.
All right, Dawn, 68 degrees today. It is going up to 91 today.
Woo.
We're going to have high 80s again tomorrow, and then temperatures in the mid to high 70s with off and on storms on Saturday. A slighter chance of storms on Sunday, and then we'll get right back to the great weather, which is brought to you by MTRuhl.com, your Generac generator experts. That's MTRuhl.com. Thursday Big Take is on the way. Stay right there.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, on demand, from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, what a show we have lined up for you today. The cut sheet absolutely loaded. You'll hear that at 7:45. But right now, let's get to a Thursday Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Which is brought to you by Wawa, Grift, Rift, and Drift. You can add Karine Jean-Pierre to the list. Democrats and legacy media, wash, rinse, and repeat. I told you just over a week ago, the last 5 years was one big con job. And now the binder is back, and she's joined the club. Fake it to make it, and then spill the beans for profit after it all blows up. It's actually a three-stage approach when you think about it. You gaslight us as a grifter, then the lie gets exposed. Stage two, the rift amongst cohorts begins, and then they drift away from their scams and schemes and their political ideologies. Former White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre is joining the Write a Book That Nobody Will Read Club. If Jake Tapper of CNN sold a measly 53,000 books in 1 week after a massive media blitz, what will KJP sell? 12 books? Here's the binder, pimping her publication. Listen and watch.
Hi, I'm Karine Jean-Pierre, and I am the author of a new book that's coming out this fall called Independent. It's coming out on October 21st, so please, please do grab it. And the reason I wrote this book, coming out of the White House, you know, serving as White House Press Secretary was an honor and a privilege. But since I have left, the people that come up to me, strangers that come up to me just across the country as I'm traveling, and sometimes right in my neighborhood, at a grocery store, supermarket, airport, my daughter's school, the number one question they ask me is, Karine, how do we get out of this? How do we protect our democracy? How do we protect vulnerable communities among us? What do we do next?
People coming up to her everywhere she goes, asking her about protecting democracy. I'm not buying that, nor am I buying the book, but you're welcome for the publicity, Karine. KJP is leaving the Democrat Party in her post-political life. The book is called Independent. According to excerpts, she tells her story of feeling disillusioned with Democrat politics and is now calling for outside the party lines thinking. You mean diversity in thought, which is what we preach every day on this show? She also writes about freeing ourselves of boxes. So the same three boxes that you checked, black, female, lesbian, to get elevated to be Jen Psaki's successor is no longer something she apparently subscribes to. Are you implying that meritocracy is the way to go? And finally, she wants to fight for the truth by highlighting the importance of dismantling the torrent of disinformation and misinformation. You mean you want to fight against the same thing that you were guilty of for over 2.5 years? The binder was the queen of fake news, and we have the receipts. Listen and watch.
Does the president have the stamina, physically and mentally, do you think, to continue on even after 2024?
Don, you're asking me this question. Oh, my gosh. He's the president of the United States. You know, I can't even keep up with it. We just got back from New Mexico. We just got back from California. That is not a question that we should be even asking.
Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? She must not be here.
No, I totally understand. I just explained. She was on top of mind.
The book is suggesting the president tells aides he's tired.
But that's in the excerpt, right?
Yeah, and that's why there have been so few public events before 10 a.m.
I mean, that's a ridiculous assumption to make.
President Biden is the oldest president in U.S. history. Why does White House staff treat him like a baby?
No one treats the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief, like a baby.
So there's this book that says...
That's ridiculous.
When staff
That's a ridiculous
back,
claim. I would put the President's stamina, President's wisdom, ability to get this done on behalf of the American people against anyone.
How is President Biden ever going to convince the 3/4 of voters who are worried about his physical and mental health that he is okay, even though in Las Vegas he told a story about recently talking to a French president who died in 1996.
I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole with you, sir. Comments were made in that report about that, about obviously about his memory that we don't believe lives in reality. I think you all have called this the cheap fakes video, and that's exactly what they are. They are cheap fakes video. They are done in bad faith. And some of your news organization have been very clear, have stressed that these right-wing critics of the president have a credibility problem.
I think there is so much misinformation, disinformation, as we've been talking about. You talked about the video of the president wandering, and it's not true, right? The president wasn't wandering. And so we believe we have to call that out. We've been calling it cheap fakes. That is something that came from directly from the media outlets.
Is anyone in the White House hiding information about the president's health, or his ability to do the job day to day.
Absolutely not.
What we have released has been very comprehensive. It has been. It has been transparent. With age comes wisdom and comes experience. And I think that matters as well. He is as sharp as ever, as I have known him to be in my engagement and my experience with him. And I know when I walk into the Oval Office or see him on Air Force One, I have to be on top of my game.
Over 2.5 minutes of lies spanning over 2.5 years. So you're fighting misinformation and disinformation in your new book. That's what you claim, right, Corrine? That's like saying you are becoming a firefighter after spending 2.5 years being an arsonist. Gutfeld sums up the secret sauce. Listen and watch.
All right, so here's the problem. This is different. The damage is done. The Democrats always thrived on hoaxes, assuming that by the time the big lie would be exposed, whether it would be Russian collusion or the Fine People hoax, they already got what they needed. The emotional impact of the lie resonated. The truth didn't matter. It's based on that understanding that you know working in the press office. The big story always lands on the front page. 2 weeks later, the corrections on page B7. Yeah. That's how it worked. The New York Times and the Washington Post still have their Pulitzers for the alleged Russian interference story, even though we know it's BS. But then something happened, and this is why it's so different. Tapper's book came out. And he deflates this hoax, but it was a hoax that we already knew, but his audience didn't. It was the first time that the correction didn't get buried in the back pages. Biden's infirmity is now more well known than Biden himself.
And the list of liars, it is stacking up longer and deeper than Fight Club submissions at 9:10 in the morning, or even Stalker's firing squad. Gavin Newsom, men and women's sports. With Charlie Kirk. Listen and watch.
It's like you right now should come out and be like, you know what? The young man who's about to win the state championship in the long jump in female sports,
right.
that shouldn't happen. You as right. the governor should step out say no.
No, and I appreciate
But like, would you do something like that? Would you say no men in female sports?
Well, I think it's an issue of fairness. I completely agree with you on that. So that's easy to call out, the unfairness of that.
And then, of course, Jake Tapper on the Biden cognitive decline cover-up. Listen and watch.
And I think that we need to be skeptical of everything that we are told by people in power. And I mean, that obviously should be the mantra of being a journalist to begin with. If your mother tells you she loves you, get a second source. Right. But we just need to remember that. Like, politicians lie. White Houses lie. Power is an aphrodisiac. And we just need to all remember that and not take at face value anything that we're.
And why do they do this? Because the Democrats and the media are the same entities, and now they can share the same dismal ratings and approval numbers as their party has crashed and burned and the networks are hemorrhaging viewers in record fashion. And of course, their late-night colleagues, they are completely silent. As Outkick.com writes, for years, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, and Seth Meyers, they mocked people for questioning Biden's cognitive ability, and now they are refusing to mention new reports about the cover-up. Not a single mention between the three of them. They go on to write, according to Grabian transcripts, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, and Seth Meyers have not mentioned a single report from Jake Tapper's new book, Original Sin, in which the CNN host details Biden's declining mental state while in office. In the book, Tapper highlights how Biden failed to recognize George Clooney during an L.A. fundraiser in June, that the actor co-hosted and helped raise $28 million for the campaign. Notably, Jimmy Kimmel, he was the MC of that event. Colbert MC'd another campaign fundraiser for Biden before he bowed out of the race in July. Put simply, not only are the late night shows on ABC, CBS, and NBC painfully unfunny, they have become nothing more than pure Democratic propaganda. The Democrats in the media, like the boy who cried wolf, lie after lie after lie. And if they ever do tell the truth, there's nobody left watching to believe them. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by the good folks at Wawa, which will have wraps on July 20th when we complete the bike ride. Sip into savings at Wawa. Enjoy any size hot coffee, including their new cinnamon churro blend for a dollar. Any size iced coffee for $2 or a 16-ounce Wawa tea or fruit drink for just $1. Unlimited bonus offers can be redeemed daily with Wawa rewards. 855-839-1210 on X at 1210WPHT. And, of course, let it rip in the YouTube chat, youtube.com/@1210WPHT. All right, Dawn Stensland, so when are you going to become a Democrat and write a book?
You know what this reminds me of? This is like the story of the guy I knew in college, and his girlfriend broke up with him. And she said, "You're a liar, and I'm not only leaving you, I'm becoming a lesbian. I'm out."
You're so right.
So she's not only leaving the Biden administration, saying that basically his White House was broken, but she's saying, I'm out. I'm leaving the party.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, the title, Independent, A Look Inside the Broken White House. I mean, wow.
Yeah, so
what a
bad
condemnation by your own, the face basically of the administration,
mm-hmm,
other than Biden himself.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I when that broke, I actually thought it was a spoof.
I had to wait until some quote mainstream media outlets started writing about how the Biden administration felt about her until I knew it was real. Because again, I can't spot artificial intelligence if it sat on my face. I just run it through stock. I'm like, is that real, bro? All right, we'll go with that. So Politico of all places. This wasn't on Sean Farish's Twitter feed. Politico of all places. Karine Jean-Pierre is leaving the Democratic Party. Her former White House colleagues have some thoughts. They go on to write, several who worked alongside the former press secretary responded to her book announcement with derision and contempt. Karine Jean-Pierre's announcement that she's leaving the Democrat Party, timed with the rollout of a new book, has detonated long simmering grievances amongst her former White House colleagues about KJP's pursuit of celebrity and personal media exposure while serving as Biden's press secretary. They go on to write, how about this? This is Politico of all people writing this. The attention grabbing ploy lit up Democratic and Biden alumni text message groups and reignited frustrations that burned for years about Jean-Pierre, according to 7 former Biden administration officials granted anonymity to describe private conversations. One former official recalled that Jean-Pierre had joked about becoming an independent even while on the job in the Biden White House. Quote, everyone thinks this is a grift, the first former official said of Jean-Pierre's book project. As Biden's press secretary, Jean-Pierre's halting, ineffectual briefings, exasperated reporters, and routinely offered material for the Republican Party's main social media account on X. She frustrated colleagues throughout the West Wing for focusing on raising her own profile while leaving the hands-on management of media relations and the White House press shop to other aides, a.k.a. she left it for her subordinates. While it's unclear how she will portray Biden or her time in the White House in the book titled Independent, A Look Inside a Broken White House, Outside the Party Lines, several former colleagues expressed confusion at how Jean-Pierre seemingly intends to paint Biden as a victim while pinning her own decision to leave the party on his broken White House. These people are all frauds. They're all grifters. They're all just going from denying something, lying about it, covering up, and then when a publisher comes along or her agent, because I believe she used to be a TV commentator. She was on MSNBC, mm-hmm, before she took this role, kind of in that transition period where, because she served in a lesser role under Obama, then she went to MSNBC. Psaki gets the job with Biden. Psaki leaves for MSNBC. Here she comes. It's basically the Democrats, the White House, and MSNBC. It's just a revolving door, right? It's like the NFL players. Hey, as soon as my career is over, Fox or CBS will hire me. I'll be an analyst. And then and another team will come along and say, hey, you want to play for one more year? Yeah, I'll come out and play. You go play, and then you go right back to the media. All these people do is grift. All they do is get exposed. And I can't imagine. She's not going to do the media blitz like Tapper did. So if Tapper did 53,000 and Bob Woodward's book on the Trump White House, I believe Stocker quoted it as 1.1 million in sales the first week. Tapper had maybe the most prolific book tour I've ever seen. He was only able to sell 53,000. What do you think Karine Jean-Pierre is going to sell? 7,500 books? Audio only? Is anybody going to actually purchase this book?
I think she's going to get way more attention. You're right. She's not going to get more book sales. But I think the media is going to give her way more attention just because of the reaction that we all got from this. We were like, wow. I mean, Jake Tapper is one thing.
Yeah.
But to actually have the mouthpiece, the propagandist of the president.
Which in her defense, or in Dana Perino's defense, or Sarah Huckabee Sanders' defense, your job is to go up there and, you know, make the president and the administration look good.
Yes.
Any negative publicity, deny it, deflect, it's fake news. That's the role. That's the gig.
There's a reason I don't play Caroline Levitt on the cut sheet. It's because I don't believe a word that comes out of any press secretary's mouth, because their job is to spin for the president, whoever the president is. That being said, I believe that she is going to get so much mainstream media play, and that's her goal with this. The goal is not to sell books. She got a nice advance for it. She doesn't care if she sells 15 copies.
Yep.
Her goal right now is to get a gig on one of the major networks.
Yep.
And the stench of the Biden White House is on her too much, so she can't shake that. So how is she going to shake that? She writes a book that cleanses her of all of the evil doings, and all of a sudden MSNBC, CNN, all of these other these podcast companies are like, welcome to the party. Come on in.
You know somebody will throw a ridiculous amount of money, far more than she's worth, to do some sort of broadcast. The only thing I would say to push back is, you even said this about Tapper. It's like, dude, you're not helping your cause. You're actually making yourself look worse. Does this make Jean-Pierre look worse? Or is she, say what you want about Jake Tapper. Jake Tapper's, unfortunately, his job, if we're being honest, if he was a real journalist, was to, you know, call it down the middle. Her job is to lie.
She's in it for a different reason.
Okay.
He's not, I mean, you can say what you will about Jake Tapper, and we've all said a lot, but like, his role is not the bombastic flame-throwing role.
No.
I believe Karine Jean-Pierre is looking to be the next Rachel Maddow.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think here's the funny thing I realized when you were playing that montage of her over the years. Two things. I always thought, I like her eyeshadow. And then I realized,
you find the most interesting things of, God bless your soul.
Even in the one clip where she was defending Biden and she was saying, he is so strong and fat, whatever, she was reading that. She was looking down.
She's awful at her job.
Yeah, well, I realized why I liked her eyeshadow. I could see it all the time because she was always looking down, reading.
That's why we call her the binder.
Yeah.
Everything that she was ever speaking about or speaking from had to be right in front of her. Yes, she could never ad-lib. Say what you want about Jen Psaki. Jen Psaki was much better at that job. She is not good at this job, which makes me wonder how she ever had a job on TV in the first place. You could say what you want about Trump's ability to pick people from Fox News, but he's picking people that are good communicators in certain roles that require public appearances for you to get up there and handle the curveballs and the fastballs and the questions and the cameras and the microphones, right? Sean Duffy, on down the list, how many people has Trump selected? He selected people from Fox News for two reasons. One, they're good on camera. Two, they've been loyal. So you say what you want about it, but he's picking people that are good in that profession. Have you seen Trump roll out anybody from television that was awful? I haven't. Now, he might pick people that are not great speakers, but they don't get a ton of airtime anyway, and they're in lesser roles. So this is fascinating. 855-839-1210. We'll come back, wrap up the 6 o'clock hour. Joy Reid out at MSNBC. It's been a couple of months. Who does she blame? Or what does she blame her dismissal on? We'll wrap it up next. Stay right there.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
More of the content and the Joy Reid story that I teased in a little bit, but we're going to do a little bit of news here earlier than usual because we do have some breaking news, and Dawn will take it away.
Yeah, because it's a breaking news story with firefighters rushing to this area, these SEPTA buses. At least four, between four and eight buses have caught fire. And you can see this huge plume of black smoke. I know that some of the news choppers have been overhead covering the story.
Yeah, the we have the photo up on YouTube, youtube.com/@1210WPHT, courtesy of NBC10 has the photo up there now.
Yeah, so
wow, that's a lot. Look at that.
It's incredible that these buses. So this is known as like the bus graveyard, if you will. It's a storage facility. It's in the Nicetown section of Philadelphia. So fire crews trying to get this thing under control, but all the buses are stacked side by side, almost like dominoes, if you will. And so this is a maintenance facility. What started it? That's the question. You know, was there somebody trying to commit vandalism? Is this a homeless person trying to stay somewhere, start a fire? You know, I don't know. We don't have word of this cause, but I know the news choppers are overhead. It's known as the Roberts Yard SEPTA Railroad Facility in the Nicetown section. So, you know, in and around that area, fire crews rushing in. This is just breaking within the past, I would say, 18 minutes.
Yeah, and Phil, if you could put the picture back over on YouTube, I mean, that's five buses in the beginning of
at least,
and then you go back a few rows.
A lot of rows.
We're talking, what, maybe 20, 25 buses look like they're being impacted by this?
Yeah.
And then so the firefighters are on the other side. There's an area of trees, so they're trying to spray this thing down, control it, don't want it to spread to the other buses or the area nearby where the trees are. So no reports of injuries of any sort, but
just, now, are those buses, the way they're all stacked, I mean, there's got to be close to 75 buses in this picture. Are those operational buses, or are those retired buses?
You said it's under the bus repair? It's bus graveyard.
That's what they call it, the bus graveyard.
So they're dead. They're not in service anymore.
No, it's a maintenance facility.
Okay. Wow.
So,
very interesting.
It is. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, arson?
SEPTA contracts due up. This wouldn't be some sort of like union power play, would it?
Well, yeah. Or we have the SEPTA. Remember, we have in the news, you know, they're urging the governor to step in and do something because of SEPTA and funding transit, because we're hearing about all these cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And so is that in any way, shape or form related? I mean, I guess it does make you wonder when you see this overhead shot. Wow. What we pay for all the storage of those buses. How many buses are out of service? What's the contract on something like that and the cost, you know, to maintain these buses?
Yeah.
Have you been behind a SEPTA bus ever where it's full or even half full?
No. I say that all the time. And I say that about the trains, you know, the R5s and stuff that run in the suburbs. I never see people on them, ever.
Ever.
They're running, but I never see people on them. Yeah, everybody on the YouTube chat is speculating possible arson. And JJ wants to know if they were electric buses.
I don't think they are, but you know, that's the question here, because that's look at that fire.
Yeah.
I mean, it sure looks to me like, how would something like that spread so quickly?
Right.
It's a huge fire. And think about what it would take for one bus,
if
whatever's happening, for all of them to ignite like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit unusual.
Agreed. 855-839-1210. We will have the full news when we come back. And also, don't forget, tomorrow.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
We are in a boot. That's right. Mercedes-Benz Piazza. I always get this wrong. I never can figure out this address. 1260
Wilmington Pike, yes.
In Westchester.
Yep.
Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, Mercedes-Benz dealership, Piazza Auto Group, where we are proud to announce the launch of Talk Radio 1210 WPHT's Piazza Pet of the Month program.
Ooh. All right, which one of us is adopting a pet? Sonia asked me that yesterday.
I was trying to get rid of my own pet, so I don't think I can adopt. My wife would be like, you hypocrite.
No, we really need, like, the Brandywine Valley SPCA is bringing down dogs, so we really, really need people to come out and adopt
something.
That's
correct.
And bring your own pup down and take a picture in the doggy photo booth. Come on.
Bring your ESA. Bring your kangaroos. Bring your crocodiles. I'll kiss and play with all of them.
And remember what we said yesterday during the cut sheet. Nick will wear a wig.
That's right.
If somebody brings down a wig, Nick will wear a wig for the entire broadcast. But you have to bring it down tomorrow morning starting at 6 a.m.
That's right. And every month, Dawn Stenzel will be featuring a few pets available for adoption. And you can stop by tomorrow, grab a coffee, a donut, even bring your dog down for picture day.
Pictures.
We will all be there from 6 to noon. Kale and Company 6 to 10. The Dawn Show from 10 to noon. Piazza Auto Group, not only our studio naming right partner here in the Piazza Auto Group studios, but also our active partner in community partnership programs throughout the year with 1210 and, WPHD.
And by the way, Lisa Benz, while you're down there, they're not that expensive.
Dude, they're cheaper than my Ridgeline.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, dude.
Get Dan Piazza on the phone right now. Get Tony on the phone. How am I paying more for a Ridgeline truck than a beautiful Mercedes? Probably a me problem, right? Much like Marjorie Taylor Greene, I didn't read the fine print.
Ed Durr on the YouTube chat says, you need Greg, you need to adopt for your son. I agree with you. The problem is that we would adopt, and then we're going to go away. You know, we're going away a lot this summer. So, you know, places that we can't bring dogs. So, we're going to get them and then go away.
Yeah, Stocker takes summers off. Stocker's like a school teacher.
Ed, come out. Come out to Mercedes-Benz of Westchester tomorrow morning.
Yes. All right, news, the full news on the other side, and then also I'll give you the Joy Reid story, and then we also have to get to how Dawn was right, because everything did get worse during COVID.
Look at that smile on her face.
And we have the data
just
to prove it.
Just clip that so I can play it on my phone for my husband.
Yes. Dawn was right.
Dawn was right.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.